everyone. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Fashion Grunge Podcast. I'm Lauren.
And I'm Mikey.
Oh, remix time. Again, every time I talk to you, I wish I had a soundboard because it's like no one else I think about it except for you. Because I would do the Missy Elliott remix. But that's what I'll have to do because I don't want to get sued for using the Missy one. So
I don't think you'll I mean, it's just like a record. I don't think you do. I mean, Missy of all people. I mean,
let's hope not. But I don't know if we blow up and then we end up making like a bagillion dollars. She'll be like, "Yo, you use that remix on the soundboard like 80 times."
Fine.
Yeah, maybe I'll do it, or I'll just record myself doing it. I'll just play it, and they'll be like, "That's how to evade it." But if you haven't guessed, this is a remix episode, so we are doing a movie that I previously reviewed during the early days of the pod. This was like high in COVID times. It was like May of 2020. It's episode 12, and we're talking SLC Punk. So fucking old, right? Four years ago. So at the time, I had no format. It was just me and Jai doing it to pass the time during the pandemic, and I think Jai was just like, yeah, this movie wasn't for me. I was just like giving her what we were doing every week because I didn't know what we were doing. I was like, hey, you want to do it? Let's just do this. I was just like, hey, watch this one. But then I didn't know her as well as I do now. So I kind of know which movies that everyone, when I choose movies for people, I kind of like figure what everyone will like because not everyone's going to kind of respond the same way to like every movie. So with this one, she was like, it was good. But like Matthew Lillard's not my favorite. And I was like, oh, well, this kind of changes the review because I love Matthew Lillard, and if you don't, then I can see why you would be like, okay.
And we can't be friends. No, I'm kidding.
No, not at all. But I was just like, I get it. He's super American. Like, it's a very, like, certain energy, and I know him so much from Scream, so I already was going in really liking him and, like, Hackers and stuff. So I was just like, okay. So I totally get it why she was like, I can get why people don't like it. Because if you don't like this subculture, if you don't like this actor, then this probably isn't the movie for you. Yeah. But if you do, then this movie is like catnip. Like, I love this movie so much. It's like one of my top 10. So
it's really interesting because, and we'll get to them because I have a couple of questions. Maybe you can answer for me later.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't know. When I was younger, I played around in different genres and try to find my identity. And I don't think I went to, I mean, obviously like total like anarchist, but I did try to wear those kind of wear that kind of clothes, the punk rock clothes.
Mm-hmm.
I dabbled in the goth pool a little bit.
Same.
You know, I don't think anarchists are, I mean, this is a little on the side political part, I don't think anarchists are necessarily wrong.
No.
And they're just here to fuck shit up in a really interesting way, you know. Mm-hmm. But we can talk about that later. I really like Matthew Lillard in this. He's the only really one I know per se. I know the father from somewhere. He's been in a lot of random stuff.
Uh-huh.
I mean, obviously, like you just said, Scream, Matthew Lillard, the live-action Scooby-Doo films, he was Shaggy. And he actually continues to this day to be Shaggy in all the cartoons.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. He did such a good job that Warner Brothers was like, okay, you are a new voice.
He is so fucking hot. Like I find him so hot. Even now, throughout the years, I've always found him hot, and I've always found his like crazy, like kind of like ADD personality super hot too. I like that he is like himself in
everything.
Like all of his roles are just him, but they're all different at the same time.
Yeah,
but I like his like energy of just being like all over the place. Like, I just think it's so great.
I mean, recently, I think he was like the villain in the live action.
That Freddy thing.
Five Nights at Freddy's. Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's a pretty cool coming too.
Mm-hmm.
His friend, Heroin Bob or whatever. Is it Heroin Bob?
Uh-huh.
Michael
Gorgon.
Thank you. The only thing that I know him from before was that he played Neve Campbell's like love interest in Party of Five.
Yeah, that's what I knew him from. Justin on Party of Five, yeah.
And then I think he was in a few episodes of Alias, but that's it.
I don't know what else he was in after. He looks like this other actor, but it's not him, but I'm going to find out what else he's in. Besides, I know him from Party of Five and then from this.
Yeah.
But he's been in something else. Yeah, he's in other stuff. I'm just kind of, I haven't seen any of these things that he's been in.
But like, I like Devin Sawa's character, Sean, is it?
Uh-huh, Sean.
With the crazy ass hair when he's like, when he's absorbed that, is it heroin or what is it?
Oh, acid.
Acid.
Yeah. And,
like, that hair do just, like...
The green? The Liberty Spikes? Yeah.
It looked like... Before, it looked amazing, and then it looked like this, like, willowing tree of, like, Muppet fur on his head.
Oh, yeah, when he's, like, having the complete bad trip freak out in the snow. On his porch, yeah. That was probably
one of my favorite scenes.
As I told you when I was texting, I don't watch this often. It's not streaming anywhere right now, but it's on archive.org. I'll post the link so you can watch it. But
yeah,
it's like there. I never realized as I was watching it, I was like, oh shit, this is like a Clueless for me. I didn't have to watch it. I knew every single thing by heart. I've seen this movie like hundreds of times. And I had it on tape, and I was just always really into it. Like, I just was always one of those people. And you had only seen it one time. I, for some reason, thought that you, like, this was one of your, like, repeats, like, you had it on DVD kind of thing.
You know, it's funny because I think I either had, I think I had it on DVD because it was in, like, one of those, like, $5 bins.
Mm-hmm.
And I just never, you know, myself having ADD, I never really, like, went back to it, I guess.
Oh,
I just wanted it to have it.
To have it, yeah.
You know, thinking that someday I'm going to like open it, and then now I don't even know what happened to it.
That is so crazy that you like didn't, that you hadn't seen it. Yeah, I just naturally assumed that you'd seen it a bunch of times.
But I remember, like I said before, like I remember the first time I saw it, I liked it. And obviously I like anything with Matthew Lillard. I mean, I'm not saying that to take a jab. I do. I mean, like you said before, like, I mean, he just plays himself all the time. And then he was in that one show, I forget what it is on Netflix, where it's like, he plays like
the husband, Good Girls.
Good Girls, yeah.
Yeah.
I fell off that show. I have to watch it.
I did too. I didn't finish it. Yeah.
Like about money laundering and everything. It was really funny. It was really interesting.
Yeah, it was really good.
And though I do have to say that a young Jason Segel is very cute. Secondary to Matthew.
Young. I don't care. I'll take him now. I love this whole cast. James Duvall. Like, come on. This casting is so top notch. We have not only Matthew Lillard and Michael Gorgon, who's also super hot. You have like James Duvall, Devin Sawa, Jason Segel, Summer Phoenix, who I love. I love me some Summer Phoenix. Awesome.
And then Adam Pascal.
I love him. I love Eddie. I love that character.
Again, I know the dad from somewhere. I can't remember his name.
Christopher McDonald.
Thank you.
The dad. Yeah.
I think the characters of Trish and Sandy should. And you can obviously weigh your opinion on this, but I feel like one of them should be the Daria of the live action movie.
I definitely think that Trish should be Jane.
Yes,
definitely. Okay. I could definitely see Sandy being a Daria.
Maybe, yeah. I think, or Janine Garofalo. I mean, she's a little.
I mean,
older.
No, yeah, she is Daria, but she's the actual one.
But also, side note: when Sandy is talking to Steve-O about like what's coming in the future, and there's like the explosion stuff in the background.
Uh huh.
Which is I'll tell you about it later. But it kind
I
of
have
reminds-
that for my behind the scenes notes. I do too, yeah. It's like one of the only things I have.
It kind of reminds me of when Helena Bonham Carter is talking to Edward Norton in The Fight Club.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of true. Like the same juxtaposition.
Mm-hmm. She also has a very... Sandy has a very Marla Singer vibe her too, like the hair, the way the hair is like dark and kind of like all over the place, and the eyeliner, and like not so much the, I like when she has red lipstick on, but like the way that she is reminds me very much of like, that is true, I never thought about that, it reminds me very much of like her relationship with Edward Norton in
Fight Club.
Yeah,
I forget. Have you done Fight Club?
Fuck yeah. It was like number 39 or something. Yeah, it was. As I will like to point out to most people while we're doing this remix episode, because the first like 40 episodes was like, we had nothing to do during the pandemic. So I think I released like 2 episodes a week because we had nothing to fucking do. So I didn't have a format. I didn't have a way to like record that well either. So they don't sound the best. I also sound like really manic and insane. I was just listening to the old one. I'll link it so you can listen. But I was just, yeah, I was just like, hey everyone, welcome to the Fish. I was like, Jesus Christ. I guess it's because I hadn't done this before. So now I'm just way more like, whatever, everyone. I think I'm like probably stoned in most episodes now. So I'm just like, whatever, this is like what this movie's about, blah, 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 whatever. But in the early ones, I sound very like, okay, everyone, like, let's talk about the movie. Like, I just sound like a fucking loser.
I don't think you sound.
Well, I guess it's just, yeah, it's just me being critical, but I just think I sound really crazy. And we had a good discussion about the fashion. I feel like I didn't write everything. I mean, there's a lot of fashion in this, but me and Jai went through like a massive breakdown of the fashion. So if you want a heavily more fashion focus on this, like the other episode is good for that. Cause I'm not going to break it down like we did, but it's cool. You can listen to both, but I figured let's update it.
Yeah. I mean, hey, why not?
Why not? Right.
Yeah. I mean, so I just blabbed and went into my first impression, but like, what was your original
first impression? I rented this movie because I didn't see it in the theater because I was 15. I wish I had. The first impression I actually have was that at Tower Records, I remember this vividly, right before the door, like when you get out, there are two stands that are on the wall that are postcards. And they had postcards from like random things. I still have some of them, which I was going to try to put in like a scrap. I'm trying to make like a long-term scrapbook. I have scraps of like different things I've done and I want to put it together somehow. But one of the things was this picture of Steve-O, and it's the poster of the movie. If you go on IMDb, you'll see it. It's a blue background and like a black and white version of Steve-O all up in the front. Oh, yeah. It says SLC Punk. I grabbed it because I used to grab one of everything. Some was like an absolute, used to have like absolute ones, like all these cool things I would just like to scrapbook or whatever. So I took one and that's what I first saw. And I was like, oh, this looks cool. Matthew Lillard. Cool. I didn't see in the theater because I wasn't paying attention and it might not have come to DC because it was such an indie film.
Yeah.
So I rented it at Potomac Video. When I saw it, the cover, I was like, oh shit, this movie's out. And I rented it and the rest is history. I got it on tape. I've had it on DVD since like the early 2000s. It's always traveled with me. And every city I've lived in, I've always watched it at some point. Like this movie also I credit for turning me on to this type of punk music because I bought the soundtrack and I wore the soundtrack out and I started listening to Dead Kennedys, Exploited, Fear. I started to get into those like 80s hardcore bands that I had never before because none of my friends listened to it here, like in high school. So this movie is one of like my foundational films, I'll call it. Like this really shaped part of my personality and the music and culture that I really like because I love the punk subculture. So
yeah,
any punk movie, I'm going to watch it. And this was top tier. And also just watching it now because it's been years since I've watched it and dissected it. Mm-hmm. I love the way that this story unfolds. Like I love the way that it's voiceovers, fourth wall breaking, like weird timelines. And I love how you're in his house when you're at his party and he introduces you to everyone. And then it goes on like a side story of like, this was Eddie. And he's like, oh, let me tell you about Eddie. And then they like flash to like how they buy beer and then they come back to the same party. So I love the way that whole thing pans out. I love the way the timeline like moves around, but it still makes sense even when you get to the end. Like I think that's really cool. And then I have to mention too that there was a sequel made in 2016 that I have been aware of for the entire time the entire time the internet has been in existence. There, it was funded through an Indiegogo campaign, so it was like a Kickstarter. Mm. So fans could chip in because they really wanted this made. It is done by James Marandino, I forgot to mention. Written and directed by James Marandino. This premiered September of 1998 in Germany, but it came here in April of 99 in the US. So, so anyway, this new one has Bob in it. I knew that it wasn't going to have Matthew Lillard. I heard that really early, which has immediately put me off. I was like, well, I'm not interested.
Sorry to interrupt you. Was there a reason that he gave, or?
I feel like I may have read something a long time ago, but I don't remember what it is now, because I remember hearing about it a long time ago that he wasn't involved. And I was like, what? And then I heard Michael Gorgon was involved, who was Bob. And I was like, wait, how is Heroin Bob involved and Steve-O's not involved? But apparently, okay, so this is why I haven't watched the second one, which is weird because it is done by the same director. And you would think I'd be like, well, he can't fuck it up. I also have not watched the other Donnie Darko either, the one about the sister.
That was so bad.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't want to ruin what I love about this movie. This is how I feel about The Crow. If I do end up seeing the new Crow, it's going to be way later, and it's going to be from a complete hate watch perspective, because I am not interested in anything to do with that. But so anyway, Punk's Dead is what the second one is called. Came out in 2016. I believe it's streaming on Tubi right now. SLC Punk might also be streaming on Tubi. But this is the description: is in the Utah hinterlands, Ross, Penny, and Crash go on a road trip to attend a punk show. Ross shreds his dark gothic look and starts embracing life when the gang is on the road. Now, apparently one of them is like Bob's kid or something.
That's kind of read. I skimmed. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I was like, I don't like what? And Trish, I think, is in it, but like, Trish, it's not the same Trish, but James Duvall and Adam Pascal and Devon Sawa are also in it.
Interesting.
So I don't get it. I just think it's a different film. Like, I just don't, I don't know. I mean, I don't really want to see it. Do I have to see it? Like, do I have to just because?
I mean,
should we do it? Okay, should we do one? Okay, this is, sorry, everyone, sidestep. We have need to do, Mikey has moved and is settled in. This is your first recording being in the new place.
Yay.
So now we can get back to business. Get your ass back on Buffy. We need to like get back into Buffy and finish season 4 out. But that will be on Patreon, by the way, so sign up for that. But we have to do another sequel episode. I remember we were trying to find sequels. Poison Ivy, I have to bring over and make you watch the original so we can do the second one. We can do this as a sequel episode, so we don't have to fully cover it. We can just cover it as a sequel. Okay. So we can add this into the bunch with like American Psycho 2 or like any of those, because this I don't want to really like dissect, because it's, I don't think I'm going to enjoy it the same way I like this one, but we can do that.
By the way, if you ever see The Crow, the new one, we have to talk about our relationship as friends.
Oh, I was like, what?
I'm just kidding.
Should we go see? I mean, no, I don't want to give money to it. I feel like even if we hate watch it, maybe we could just have a hate watch episode.
Lauren.
No, it's really bad, right? Yeah, Lauren. I don't need to waste time and shit on it. I love the original. We'll redo the original one. Maybe that's what we'll do. When it's going to come out, we'll do our remix of The Crow that weekend so that
works.
We can talk about The Crow again, because me and Jai talked about it, but it's another like episode 20. I mean, it's really early. I'll talk about it again.
If we ever decide to do it, we have to be stoned, okay?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay.
And we're not buying it. I'll wait for it to be rentable or streamable. I mean, I'm not buying it.
So in 2 years?
No, it'll be out like this fall. If it's coming out in the summer, it'll be out this fall.
Oh, that's right. Oh,
yeah, it'll be out soon. So I'll do it if I don't have to pay for it. And if I get 10 minutes in and I'm like, fuck this, then I'm turning it off. Like, I'm not going to sit and watch it. But yeah, so this is a foundational film. This means a lot to me. I can recite it, but I won't. But yeah, that's the level for me. That's how much I love this movie. And yeah,
another article like I kind of skimmed about was like a lot of people, this resonated with them a lot, and how it kind of was the intro to punk for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So I love that, and I can see why, you know, after watching it for the second time.
I think Stu and Steve-O have a lot in common. It's just Stu, because Stu is, even when he's not like revealed at the end in Scream, sorry, spoiler alert if you haven't seen it, but if he is after, when you see him just with Tatum and like the way he acts exactly how Steve-O acts with Sandy. it's the same guy. You know what I mean?
Oh, side note. I did read that. So what was it when Scream 5 came out? Was that like the newer one, right?
No, 7 was the last. Six was the last one.
Not the last one, but like when they restarted.
Oh, when they rebooted. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, So you know how like it was all the requels, as one of the characters says, and there was a ghost face with a metal mask and a flamethrower at one point.
Okay.
So and he's uncredited, but it's Matthew Lillard's voice.
Really?
Yep.
No way.
Yeah. So I was like, what?
That's so funny. Another reason why, I mean, I hate to say like this is such a cliche thing to say, but like him being 6'4 also adds like 10 points on how hot he is, that he's like so tall and gangly. I think that also makes him like super hot.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny.
I love him so much.
I know, he's so good. Okay, so first, well, we were done with first impressions. Let's move on to behind the scenes.
Yeah. What do you have?
Okay, like, all the stats are IMDb gives it a 7.4 out of 10, which is pretty high as far as IMDb goes. Rotten Tomatoes gives it a 62% is the critic score. 89% is the audience. So that tells you right there. This is like a kick-ass film. Let's see. Letterboxd average is 3.8 out of 5. The budget was $600K, but the box office only took in $299K. Technically, oh, wow. It didn't make its money back, but maybe in like video sales or something, like it might have actually done well, because this is a really well-known film. I mean, maybe some people younger may not have heard of it, but I feel like if you're in like somewhat of our age group, I think you definitely know about it.
Is there a website that has that kind of info, that detailed info of like, okay, well, it didn't make this, but it made in videos, maybe streaming?
Well, streaming, it depends on who owns the film. I don't know who owns it, because the director doesn't own it to like license it out to like Netflix or whoever.
Oh, I think it was Sony.
Does Sony own it? So they're making money. Yeah, I don't know if like the director, because streaming wasn't a thing, as we figured out during like all the strike and everything that happened last year. This would probably not apply, because this was done way before any agreement. So they probably just own the property and they can just license it out. Let me see if I can see. You know where they may have this info is like...
I'm surprised that IMDb doesn't have that.
Well, IMDb has a pro function. So well, you can sign up for pro, and I think it actually shows you like more of the details of the numbers of like every movie. And also I think you see like the agents and all that kind of shit for like all the actors.
Oh, wow.
So well, here's one called the numbers.com. This one just says, yeah, this just gives the box office. It doesn't give let's see, there's a video sales tab. Let's see. But there's nothing on it. But there's a tab there. But yeah. So yeah. I mean, I guess we just won't know.
Curious.
Let's see. The only thing I got was that this was chosen as the 1999 opening feature at Sundance, which is pretty cool. We shot most of this in Salt Lake City, and I think in Wyoming where they actually go. And then this is one of those like rare kind of, not rare, but like a real 90s technique with like him breaking the fourth wall and having that like direct connection with the viewer and then having these voiceovers. Yeah, which I think is so cool. And then the apocalyptic footage, which you were mentioning before, is from Terminator 2.
You're right. Judgment Day.
Yeah, which is so cool. That's pretty rad. That is a pretty awesome part of that movie anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I think, yeah.
It's, I mean, obviously, I mean, like, the CGI, like, sucks a little bit right there, but, I mean, it's, or the blue screen, whatever they use.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely.
It's, yeah.
What do you have? And then I'll read some funny letterbox reviews. What did you get?
Oh, so I have to erase that note. Real quick.
Oh,
sorry.
That's okay.
No. So, Matthew Lillard's character, Steve-O, was originally supposed to have bleach blonde hair. But when he got to when he did the bleach job, the peroxide burnt his scalp. So he had to dye it blue, which kind of hid the burnt parts.
That's actually really funny.
Yeah. Which is interesting because, and correct me if I'm wrong or my mind was doing a trick on me, but it was green originally and then kind of turned blue throughout the movie, like dark blue to light blue.
For me, I always thought it was blue. It did kind of get darker, though.
Okay.
I think.
Maybe it was just my screen. I have no idea, but I was like, and I wasn't like high or anything. I was watching it and I was like, wait, this is warping my mind. Like, and I was like totally ADD focused on it and going, what?
Oh no, it does change, but I think it's like still variations of blue.
Okay.
It might have changed throughout, like maybe when they were filming they dyed like different, or he washed it at some point and it got lighter or something like that.
Yeah. When I forget who it was, but when some guy flips off the camera in the mall and says Anarchy in the UK.
Yeah, don't you remember that part?
Yeah. I forget who it is though. It's just some random kid.
Yeah, it's just some random kid. Yeah.
Apparently it's voiced over by the director, because according to the director, I can't remember how to say his last name, he didn't like how the boy was originally saying it.
Mm-hmm.
So he like dubbed over, which is weird. I don't know.
It's kind of funny.
I thought it was interesting. I don't know. Toward the end of the movie, Steve-O wears a badge reading "God is an American," which is an actual line from David Bowie's song "I'm Afraid of Americans."
I'm afraid of Americans. Do you remember that song? Yeah.
It's afraid of the world. That absolutely fucking amazing album.
That whole movie, like, I love that we're now at the point in life where, like, we realize that movie slaps. And, like, when we were watching it, I was like, it's bad, but, like, why is it kind of good?
Like, I mean, literally, like, Naomi, or, I mean...
Nomi?
Nomi, what's her name? Fucking Jesse Spano.
Yeah, Jesse Spano.
Yeah, I mean, she can, like, dance, and she can act. I mean, she can act, sort of.
I mean, it for what it was, I feel like it was so camp before we really appreciated camp. Like we just were like really jonesing on the fact that it wasn't like some Oscar winner. I think at that point in life we were very like, or in Hollywood it was very like cut and dry. Like either this was like it weird wasn't appreciated. Like camp wasn't appreciated. It was in such a small circle and she was such a bigger star. So and so was the director. Like, so we were like, oh, shit, this is going to be good. And then when it, like, kind of flopped, they didn't realize that this was, like, kind of brilliant, but it was ahead of its time.
Very, yeah.
And now people are like, holy shit, this is, like, actually so fucking camp and, like, so good, and we just weren't ready.
Album is just fantastic. Anyway, yeah, David Bowie's Afraid of Americans are on there, and I love that album. I love David Bowie. He was fantastic. Poor David Bowie. My next one was Steve-O and Heron Bob appear to live at 404, the street number. But you computer nerds out there, 404 is the HTML error code for content not found.
I know that. I run a website. I know that.
Right.
I know that shit.
Matthew also appears in Hackers. And we just listed a couple of different movies. Like you just said, SLC Punk was chosen as the opening night feature at the 1999 Sundance Film Festival. I would love to go to another film festival so badly.
Oh, same. Yeah, we should go. We should be going. We're reviewing movies.
I mean,
why can't we get an invite to Sundance?
I mean, even though we're not like making any money, we can still like appear on panels or like.
Yes. I love how they're like fucking 10 bajillion podcasts right now. So they're probably like, we'd have to let every losers in who just were like, we like movies and want to talk about them.
So we have to rush to get in line first.
We do, yeah. If anyone out there is listening and wants us to talk about your movie, then let us know. We'll do it. We'll talk about your movie.
The director created the film based on his experience growing up in Salt Lake City. Although the film is not autobiographical, the director has said that many characters were based on people he knew and some of the same names.
I feel like I could do that. Like there are enough weirdos that I came in contact with that I could like make into.
His friend, Bob or Heron Bob in the movie, his real life friend did not die. But he went on to become a priest, apparently.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which I found really interesting.
That's so funny.
And like you said, most of the film was shot on location in Salt Lake City with a scene taking place in Evanston, Wyoming.
I forgot he was in Serial Mom.
Who?
Matthew Lillard.
Is he?
Yes. And also, okay, he's in She's All That, but I don't know if a lot of people realize it's a controversial movie for me because I fucking hated that movie. So
you what's her name, right?
Who, Rachel Lee Cook?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't dislike her, but I didn't like that whole movie. Freddie Prinze Jr., I'm sorry. I love you as Buffy's husband, so you'll always have a place in my heart, but you can't carry a film, sir.
I haven't seen it in a really long time, but why is it controversial to you?
No, it's not because everybody loves it. Like, I have a hot take on it in the fact that, like, I don't think it's as great as most people my age do. Like, it's one of the foundationals for me. No, it's not. Yeah. 13 Ghosts. I forgot he's in 13 Ghosts.
Oh, my God. That's right.
I fucking love that movie so much.
That was my ex's favorite movie.
Oh, I really love it. We saw it in the theater.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I fucking love that movie. I was just remembering Matthew Lillard and, like, other stuff he was in because we were talking about him earlier. Mm.
But that's it. That's all I have.
Yeah, there wasn't, like, a ton. I couldn't find any, like, even behind the scenes, I have the DVD, and there was, like, the trailer and, like, director's commentary, but I was like, okay, I'm not watching
that.
There
was one deleted scene where another character, I guess, dies, but that was
I did read that. Yeah, but he didn't say, like, who it was.
No, he didn't say who it was,
Crazy. Well, let's move on to I could talk for the next hour about this next one. Fashion.
Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
Fucking start? You go. I want to hear what you think.
Okay, so I mean, I know you go more in depth in the previous episode. So I've got like 8 different notes.
Okay.
Excuse me. I love all the punk style clothes. I know that's very broad, but every one of them has their own characteristics matching with the characters.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just amazing, right? I don't necessarily like, I feel like Trish doesn't have as many outfits as she could have had.
The girls don't. There's no real attention to the girls in this film.
No.
I feel like it's a heavy guy film.
That was a missed opportunity. I really like, Steve-O's cross-stitch brown and gray and white coat that he has wearing at the hospital or the doctor's office where he and Jason Segel's character brings Bob.
Oh, that's like a blazer. I have a whole note on all of his plaid blazers specifically.
He has a good blazer game in this movie.
Uh-huh, like, yeah.
Amazing. And it matches his hair perfectly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the blue.
Especially this outfit. I think this is one of my favorite in the movies. When they're in the hospital, it's like the purple hair, the purple shirt underneath, it just matches everything. The bright blue pants in the you know, I love that. And then in the scene, I think like right after that, it's like when it must be like a memory or something, Bob and Steve-O are in the park and Steve-O's lying down. He has this like green pleather jacket on.
Yeah, with the black collar. Yeah.
And then like he has a pink belt on. I love that. It's like the scene like right after the hospital.
And that's when Bob gives his whole speech about like those chemicals you're gonna do, they're fucking you up, man.
And then speaking of Bob, in that same scene, I love his blue boots.
Yeah, the docks.
The docks, yeah.
Yeah.
And then I like Devon Sawa's character, like his character, what was his name? Sean. His mom's outfit.
Oh, when she's in the house.
So it was like, I love the flower print jacket and
it's like
skirt.
A house coat or but something. It looks like a house coat.
It's like a skirt and a jacket.
Oh, okay. It's like a separate
underneath or something. But those shoulder pads are very like Beetlejuicy-esque.
Doesn't she have like a beehive too? Doesn't she have like a weird haircut? I'm trying to remember her hair. Yeah.
But I really like it. I know she's like not even a real character in there. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I didn't even notice her. No. That is probably one of my favorite scenes of all time in any film is when he has that freak out and he's like, Satan is in the house. he's gone to my mom and he's turned her into a bull.
Do you see land? No. It's just water.
Are you sure you don't see land anywhere? I love where he's like, ah, you're frying, man. How much acid did you take? God, this whole movie. It's like Clueless. It's like watching Clueless. I like can't help it. I was watching Clueless the other day and I was like, oh my God, I know this entire fucking movie. This is like driving me crazy. I could like recite it as like a one woman play. Like I know the entire thing. It was like so crazy.
That's awesome. I like Steve-O's outfit. Well, actually every outfit. I mean, but when they do like the 4 year earlier jump scene when he's talking to his parents, I want that like leather studded jacket so
I know,
bad. That whole outfit
so cool.
is amazing. The hair, I mean
the wig.
It was okay.
Mohawk.
I like it the present, you know, much better. But you know, that was a lot of punks do the Mohawk thing, you know?
Mm-hmm. Oh totally. So, that's commitment.
That is definitely commitment. His blazer at the party that's blue and white, like pinstripe, almost cross-stitched hybrid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like I said, he's got a very strong jacket game in this whole thing.
So strong, yeah.
The guy who's driving the Cadillac.
Eddie?
That's his name?
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's his character name, yeah.
I like his olive green jacket with the black fur trim when... Mm-hmm. They're talking about like 666 to those like older people that are like, oh my God, the devil. Blah,
yeah.
Blah, blah. He reminds me of Justin from Queer as Folk a little bit.
Oh, a little bit. Yeah.
Like,
a little bit.
The way he like talks and the way he smiles.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just so pasty white like Justin.
I love Eddie.
Yeah. But that's all I have. So far.
Oh wow, okay, cool. Yeah. I mean, I was trying to write down just like general stuff. I think I mentioned Fiora Boas is the fashion costume designer here, but she hasn't done that much. She did the second movie.
Okay.
So maybe I have to see it just for research purposes, just to see like what the fashion is. But I have general notes because obviously I went into real deep detail before, but I just wrote Steve-O, blue hair, the mixing and matching of the blazers. I love the like lock chain razor necklace that he wears.
Oh,
he wears
yeah.
like several of them layered. I also really love the mall outfit when he's in the mall and he's giving that like big soliloquy about like who cares who started it.
Oh,
he has this really cool black, black pants. He has a studded belt. He has like a, around his wrists, he has a long sleeve graphic tee on, but around his wrists, he has the tops of tube socks cut off, and they're like bracelets.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And he wears them in several scenes, but I've always loved them. And I remember, I never did it as a kid, but I remember seeing it and knowing they were like old, like kind of dirty tube socks that were like cut off.
Mm.
And I always thought that was really like a really cool touch from a costume perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Heroin Bob, I love that he always has the military jacket. Like, that's one of his staples.
Oh,
and it's
yeah.
basically, like, that's what he's wearing. And then he wears, like, blue jeans and then, like, various shirts underneath, which I think is cool. I do like when they're sitting there in front of their TV and they're, like, drinking beer and it's, like, they're spilling it and they're both wearing, like, full Long John sets.
Oh, yeah.
Like, sitting, like, that looked really cool. I like that the blue that he had on, Steve-O had on, like, kind of matched his hair. Like, it was still blue. I think Bob had white. He had, like, a white set on. That was really cool. Let's see. I like his white anarchy jacket, which someone recently online was talking about that they wanted. It's, like, a track jacket that he wears when he walks up to
really
Sean. Like, and it has, like, a blue and a red stripe. And it has an anarchy A on it. I gotta find this. I saw this online somewhere. Like, I think, like, they're either making... Let me see if I can actually find this right now. I should have looked it up. White... track jacket. Do you remember track jackets?
Uh-huh.
I used to have like a lot of track jackets. Let's see. Yeah, because people wanted it. Big Cartel, is this legit? Can you actually pre-order it? Fuck yeah, you can.
Oh,
you can
really?
Pre-order the jacket. Damn, it says it ends on it's like over. It ended on St. Patrick's Day, but it
That's
is
good.
That jacket.
Oh, wow.
Heroin Bob's woven track jacket. And I think it says Hater Hop on the back. And they also have... Okay, so this is actually really cool that I just found this out. Punksnotdead.bigcartel.com. That's where I am. One of the other outfits that I wanted to point out was that I love Steve-O's UPS shirt that says United Pot Smokers. That's a coming soon.
Oh,
that
no.
brown shirt that he has on.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
maybe there's also the field coat that he wears that's sold out. But that was another thing that was made, which is the one that he's wearing that has the like rainbow stripe on one side that looks kind of like a gas station coat and the patch. So that one's really cool that I really like a lot. So that one was there. I like the mods. Like James Duval has like a, when the mods show up and they're buying the weed or the acid from Sean at the school and they're all wearing those like 60s, like really slim suits. And James Duval's also wearing that. I love James Duval's like kind of Chelsea hair where it's like brushed forward in the front and then spiky in the back. I love me some James Duval anyway, but, or Duval. I think that's Duval. I think I actually heard him pronounce it and I was like, oh shit, I've been saying it wrong. Let's see. I love it. They have Vespas too. I thought that was really cute. The plaid blazers. I mean, there's so many. The pastel ones at the party. Yeah. The red one that's plaid. He has an orange one where he's at Mark's. Yeah, like he has so many cool ones. They're definitely from like old thrift stores. They're so cool. Let's see. Another one he has is I wrote that green vinyl jacket too with the fur collar, the gray fur coat that he has in the. I think it's vinyl. Yeah. It's not leather. No, it's vinyl. And then the gray fur coat that he has on when they're in the liquor store. That. Oh, it's so cool. And then when he walks out, he has like red plaid pants on underneath and they're like at his ankles. He's still like running with the beer, which I thought was really funny. Let's see, the UPS shirt I talked about. I love he also wears mittens a lot.
Yeah.
In random different, like, crochet-looking knitted patterns. I do also like Sandy. Sandy dresses, like, she has this really cool, like, tomboy-y, like, grungy, like, pre-grungy kind of thrift store-y way of dressing, which is cool. And then I really like Trish, how she has, like, different wigs. And she's really, like, put together in this, like, 70s bohemian kind of way. Yeah. And she's older. I like that she's older than them. She's, like, in her 30s. They're, like, what, early 20s or something? But I just like that she's, like, has this cool, mature vibe. But she also has a boho, like, hippie vibe, too, which is really neat. And then, let's see, also Eddie... I love Eddie's like hat that he has on in the beginning. He has on that like black hat. Then you see him later at the party and he has that orange vinyl, like candy colored jacket on when he's talking to that girl. I love Eddie. Like Eddie's, I love when they're like, Eddie was into women. Like Eddie just is so cool. He was like hitting on that girl at the party. I love Eddie. I love Eddie's whole vibe. But yeah, that's my overall. I mean, it's everything. It's hard for me to even write everything down because it's all so good and it's so real and it doesn't seem fake at all. It seems pretty genuine to the story. I mean, you know, a heightened version of it.
Yeah. No, that's cool.
Cool. Alrighty. Well, let's move on to music. What did you get?
So you probably have more than I do.
I wrote like everything down.
I was lazy and didn't look up all of them.
Oh, okay.
I was trying to rely on Shazam, and it wouldn't pick up a lot of them.
Oh, so, damn. No way.
And I was trying to do it in chronological order, too, because I'm a nerd. the first one is Sex and Violence by The Exploited. It's the intro song. The second song that's in the movie is Too Hot by The Specials, and playing in the background of the scene with Steve-O and Bob, as Steve-O is like gently like kicking Bob to get awake. Excuse me. The third one to play in the movie is 1969 by The Stooges. While Devin Sawa's character Sean is running from the cops. In that scene, correct me if I'm wrong, is he wearing oven mitts?
Yeah, I think they're like mittens. I think they're like mittens. Like
they look like oven mitts for a minute.
I think they're like mittens, I think.
I was like, oh, this child's lost. Okay. the fourth one to play in the movie, chronological, is I Love Living in the City by Fear.
I love living in the city. Yeah.
It's playing in the background when Matthew's character is talking in the audience while he's in the mall.
Mm-hmm.
Or I think that's like right before you get into the mall. And then that's where I stop, unfortunately.
Oh, okay, good. I can pick up there.
Yeah.
Okay, so then you have the ECP show, which actually is a real band.
A real band, yeah.
Yeah, and they're called 8. There's something with something, the name 8 or the number 8 in it. I just can't remember at the time. Hold on, let me see. I think it's called... 8 Bucks Experiment. That's what they're called. Okay. But at that show, like when the cops come to the ECP show and like break it up, the Ramones' Cretan Hop starts playing. And that's when they're like running away from the cops. And then there's like one of my other favorite songs, the Suicide Machines. It's called, what is it called? I Never Promised You a Rose Garden. I beg your pardon. Yeah, it's a good one. Adam and the Ants, Beat My Guess is a song that Eddie's playing. And in the back, when they're driving to Wyoming, it's like,
oh, yeah.
And then Aaron Bob's in the back. He's like, you like this kind of music? And he's like, yeah, I think it rocks. And he's like, I know. I think it sucks, man. Like, that's really funny. The Velvet Underground Rock and Roll is when Mike is like bursting out the windows on like the street when they're telling that story about how Mike, Jason Segel's character, got arrested and like nobody knew it was him, and he like burst out of the car and like broke the cuffs and like he got away and nobody realized, which is kind of funny. Roxy Music Mother of Pearl is another great song. It's like when Steve-O's on the way to Brandy's house for that party. Like Summer Phoenix.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's another good one. And then Blondie Dreaming is when he's at her house, I think, which is really good. And then we have Spandau Ballet, which is another great 80s band.
Is that how you say it?
I think it's Spandau.
Spandau? Okay, I never knew how to say that.
Spandau? Spandau? I think so. That's really good, and that one is called... She Loved Like Diamond, so that's on at the party.
I like that song, yeah.
Let's see. Then we have Generation X, Kiss Me Deadly. Now, this song, which happens in the flashback between Steve-O and Bob when they're really young, when they're kids in the basement, and they're just learning about music, that song... Like, when he plays that song for Steve-O, and he's like, you gotta listen to this, and he's like, I got this tape from this guy in L.A. He's like, you know a guy in L.A., and he's like, just give me a chance. And he plays him Generation X, which is, I believe, Billy Idol's band, before he became Billy Idol. Let me find out. I'm pretty sure it's Billy Idol, I think. Isn't it? Yes, it is. Okay, good, I was right. It's always sad. People are like, fuck yeah, of course it is. But yeah. So when he was first playing this for him, I loved that song immediately, like just as a teenager. And I remember searching high and low to find out what it was. Yeah. And then, I got the soundtrack. I believe it's on the soundtrack. And I freaked out because I didn't know, like, we didn't have Shazam. So I didn't know, like, who sang the song, whatever. When I ended up finding it, I was, like, obsessed with Generation X. Like, and that album specifically that comes from. But that one, and then at the end, we have Dead Kennedys' Kill the Poor, which is another great band in general that I did not know about, I think, until this film. And I love Dead Kennedys. They're one of my faves in, like, this kind of genre. Right? Yeah, they're super cool. Like, Jello, the lead singer, Jello Biafra, is, like, one of my favorite people. He's pretty cool.
Oh, cool.
But, so this movie is, like, a music film for me. It was, like, a... informational kind of guide too, because I didn't know anyone to listen to like 80s punk at all.
Yeah,
so it's pretty neat.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Okay, so favorite scenes and lines, what do you got?
So I only have two.
Two? Shit, man. Well, maybe I'm on an island here. I just really like this movie. Hey, everyone's like, it's all right.
and that's okay, you know? I mean, that's why we're doing this, you know?
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I'll revisit this, like, anytime. Doesn't matter.
So, one of my favorites...
You only have two. Okay.
Sorry.
No, it's okay.
I mean, one of my favorites, and, like, we were talking about, was the freak-out scene with Sean. But my first one is, it's at the party when, when Steve-O is breaking the fourth wall and he's introducing all of these people, like we were talking about earlier. Mm-hmm. Amongst them is the character of Jennifer. Mm-hmm. She looks amazing. Her makeup is flawless, and I love her yellow eyeshadow.
Mm-hmm.
To me anyway, and this is my own opinion, so don't come for me. But yellow eyeshadow doesn't look amazing on white people.
That's too similar.
But it really looks good on her.
Yeah, she also has, like, a weird, like, light, too. There's, like, a strange light, like, yes. lighting situation in there is, yes. like, weird and cool.
For sure. Anyway, so he introduces her, and he says, this is Jennifer. She's 17. She looks older because this lifestyle really hardens you, takes the piss out of you. And she's got this brother, Chris. He's this death rock punk guy, and he's like, I don't know why I'm telling you about him, because you're going to meet this guy later. Now, this girl, obviously beautiful, sweet as pie, is the greatest god, is the greatest god ever person on this earth. But you, something, sorry, I messed that up. But you do not want to mess with her. She hasn't had her medication, deserted in a desert alley. She will rip your head off. This girl is a carnivore. Look, carnivore. And Jennifer goes,
be careful. Yeah, I love her.
I love that. And then my second one is when Heroin Bob says, well, it's just a crazy fucked up world, and we're all just floating along waiting for someone who can walk on water.
Yeah, I love the way he says it too, because she's just like, it's just a crazy fucked up world, we're all just waiting for someone who can walk on water. And then you just hear Steve-O going, that was Bob, a real asshole when it came to reading into this. Like, and I love how he's like, do you ever think about chemistry's the wrong major for a guy like you? It's the wrong major, Bob. Like, you always overthink everything. It's just so funny.
I mean, like, those are two random ones. But I mean, yes, they do have great scenes and great quotes. I'm not taking that away.
Oh, yeah, they totally do.
Yeah. But you go ahead, please.
Oh, shit, man. I mean, I just wrote, like, I love the voiceover from the start. Like, yeah. I love how it just starts off where he's just like, well, you know, like, this is me and my friend. And his first diatribe is basically like, how he hates rednecks, and they represent, yeah. like, everything about, like, America that he isn't. And you just see him, like, him and, like, Heroin Bob, like, stalk these, like, two dudes in this pickup truck who are, like, the grossest guys ever, who are just like, let's, like, fucking go fuck chicks or whatever. Yeah. And they're like, you know, they're like, oh, man, this is so bad, so we, like, love to beat these guys up. So I love how you just get this voiceover from the start of, like, this is me, this is my crazy world. Like, this is what this movie is going to be. It's, like, me yeah. talking to you and telling you about my crazy world and my crazy life. So I just like how that kind of, like, brings it in. The Bob's acid speech about how yeah. he's, like, yelling at Steve-O about, like, these chemicals that you do. That's one of my favorites. Sean's acid melting into his knee at school. Oh, yeah. And his subsequent, like, breakdown and his, like, bad trip. And, like, that whole thing is just, like, the whole thing is just nuts and pretty great. I do love the conversation that Steve-O has with his parents when his parents are like, okay. And it's like, this is like what you mentioned where you like that jacket. And they're like, his mom and dad are so funny. And his dad's just like, well, you graduated high school. Thank God. Yeah. You know, he's like, I think you should, like, you know, go on and be like Ivy League and like do, because his dad's a lawyer. And he's like, I think you should do what I do. And he's like, okay. And he just sits there. And then like right after they talk, they're just like, the mom is kind of hippie-ish, but the dad is, like, kind of corporate, you know, like, just do this or whatever. So he, like, his rebuttal speech where he's just like, why the fuck did you guys move from, like, New York, the mecca of culture, to Utah, nowhere? And he just, like, for the first time, I'm 18 and I can say, fuck you! Yeah. And then he's like, and then the dad goes, I didn't sell out, son, I bought in. He's like I just like that the dad is so crazy, and then the mom is just like,
oh yeah,
he's well, like, she too. Takes after his father, he's a son of a bitch, and then she's like, fuck you, dear. Like, yeah. I love his parents have that like funny relationship. It's really good. The whole mall monologue where he talks about like the music and like how girls like around there wanted people with like fake English accents, like, hey, mistress, fancy a shag, like that whole yeah. scene, which I feel like was one take, was just like candy for my brain. I just was obsessed with it when I was younger. I still am. I think I have one of those, that scene when he's talking about like, who cares who started it, like, was it the Sex Pistols in England, was it the Ramones, the Velvet Underground, that whole scene I think is on my Instagram, and it's like always people liking it from like years ago. Like, because it's just one of the best scenes. Like, it's so good. God, I mean, the fact, okay, one other aspect we didn't talk about is I love the side characters in this. Like, Brandy's a cool one. My favorite person ever that we meet in this entire film is Mark. And Mark is, like, this Eastern European older guy who ends up selling drugs to them.
Wasn't he? He was in, like, The Social Network and some other random stuff, too,
what was
right?
he in Social? Yeah, what was he in? Was he in Social Network? I'm looking this up now. Mark SLC okay, Punk. Yeah, I didn't even...
He's in such random stuff.
Yeah, Till Schweiger? Is that his name? It is like that whole scene of him and Steve-O explaining about like going to his house and having these weird dudes. I think people don't realize, I think he's German. People don't realize that back in the day, when you wanted to score weed, even shitty weed, you had to go to like some random ass dealer and sit through some bullshit in order to get whatever the fuck it was, which is crazy. This reminded me so much. There was a dealer around I knew called Wacko. That's his name was what? Wacko. Really? That was like his dealer name. Yes, it was in high school. And he lived in Adams Morgan. And we used to, like, me and a few of my high school friends, we used to go and get, like, stupid shake weed for, like, $10. Like, nothing. No one would even care about now. And we had to sit through crazy bullshit. Like, I remember that I had a two-way. And he was like, yo, I want to see your two-way pager. And then it broke. Like, after... Yeah, like, I think he did something with it, and then when I went out, I guess it broke at his house, because then when I walked out and flipped it open, like, the fucking screen was cracked.
No way.
And I was like, what the fuck? And I couldn't, like, say anything, because I was like, I don't know this fucking dude, but it was really fucking weird, and it was just kind of, sort of wild, but it reminded me so much of, like, how weird he was, and how he was, like... He had a weird story where he had money because his entire family died in a plane crash and he had all this insurance money and he just bought all this crazy shit. Like, he was so funny. He was like, let's go steal a car. And then that whole scene where they're smoking weed in the car and they're like talking about like what you talk about when you're high, like when you're 20. Like, it's nothing that you talk about now, but you're like, hey, like, you know, what we ever thought about, like, what would happen if like the world just, you know, like stopped spinning or like whatever the fuck you talk about before you like learn how to be a functioning stoner in society. But like before that, you're just like, oh, I can't do anything. That was like Mark, so funny. I find Mark. Like, probably one of the most intriguing characters. Yeah, he's so good. Let's see. Also, Jen, I wrote down when you meet Jen. I also, when you meet John the Mod, and I was like, James Duval looking hot as usual. The beer exploration scene.
Yeah.
I love too.
What is a mod?
A mod is like the kind of subculture in the 60s. So it was kind of like those... Like, I think it really birthed from London, I want to say. Like, Twiggy, the model Twiggy, she was around during the mod era. Like, I think it was a fashion era, because the girls had, like, those very short skirts, but they were, like, kind of structured and, like, silhouetted in a certain kind of way with, like Austin Powers was mod. Like, the clothes they're wearing in Austin Powers, that's, like, mod. Although Austin's outfit isn't, but, like, the style of the other guys, like, the other suiting of that time, like, 60s. It's always 60s mod. That's always, like, the lifestyle or, like, the style. Let me see what the actual...
Well, no, but...
60s, 50s London. Okay, it was a subculture that began in the 50s of London, but it was suiting was the big thing. It was all, like, tailor-made suiting and stuff.
So that's... more on the fashion, but Steve-O,
mm-hmm.
he called people mods.
Yeah, because it's part of a subculture. It's like being a punk. It's like another subculture that you belong to. Based on fashion, but also based on music. I believe mod music was like jazz and some other like different types of artists and stuff, but it's very 60s. Started in like England and London and stuff and kind of filtered out. Yeah. But yeah, I think it's mod. I think that's the modern jazz. Something it stands for, like modern jazz or something like that. Yeah. Something like that.
That would make sense.
Yeah. But I love how he's like, you know how when they were yelling at Sean, they were like, what the fuck did you become a punk for? And he's like, hey man, the kid wants to be a punk. Let him be a punk. So it's like they're just another kind of subculture, like another cog in the wheel of like different tribes that are kind of explored throughout this whole thing. I do love that whole video essay where the rednecks come and burst the party, and then you hear Steve-O like, the fight, what does it mean? And where does it come from? An essay. And it's like a whole like breakdown and like a philosophical way of like sociology and tribes and how they fight and how they like come together and everything. I like that. Sean's job interview is another one of my favorites, where they into Sean later and they're like, what are you doing? And why don't you get a job? He's like, I tried that. Yeah. And that's why he's like, hi. And he tries to get the job.
Do you have any experience? And he's like, if I had experience, why would I be coming here?
Yeah. What would I be doing here? Do you have experience in women's clothes? Why the fuck would I be wearing women's clothes? And then of course he says, I'm not a, And he's like, and she's like, no, I meant, do you have experience in retail? And he's like, no. It's just really funny. It's like, I don't actually want this job, okay? I mean, I don't think this is a good way to start off our, you know, working relationship. Yeah, it's just like, oh my God. He's like, there's just nothing out there for me, man. There's nothing out there. The whole scene where Steve and Sandy drop acid in the park, I just love. He starts talking about, like, the Donner Party, which is crazy, which is that, like, old historical story of like the group of people who were like migrating from somewhere in like the middle of the country to the west, but they got caught in a pass in the snow or something and they resorted to cannibalism. And I think that was nearby where they were. It was like near the park or something, like where they were, so that was kind of cool. But that whole scene was just really crazy and weird. But
I did have to like turn away because it's so weird, because like, I mean, and I've talked about this before, like I've only experimented, I mean, obviously I do weed, I smoke weed, but I've experimented with shrooms a couple of times and X like twice, or no, once. So to each their own, right?
Mm-hmm.
But something happens, like, and I think it happened in Fight Club and it definitely happened in Requiem for a Dream for me, where it's like, I feel my body tense up and I have to like look away. It's weird.
Wait, is what happened to that in Fight Club? Oh, was that when they were like getting beat? Like that one where he like beats?
I think it was, wasn't it Fight Club? I mean, they
Jared Leto.
Maybe it wasn't in Fight Club. It was definitely in Requiem for a Dream. That I remember.
Oh, I mean, yeah, that whole movie is like, I'm sick.
But
but
it's like I feel sick. Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, you feel like so nauseous. Yeah.
I did have to, when I was watching this earlier today, I was like, I have to like look away.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It was very strange, even though they weren't like needles or anything like that, but they were like, you know, I don't know. It intensified, you know?
You're like Heroin Bob.
Yeah, maybe.
Where he was just like, I don't fuck with that shit.
Right.
I just smoke my, or now he doesn't even smoke weed. He was just drinking, I guess, and like smoking cigarettes. Yeah. No, that makes sense though. Some people have like, I have adverse reactions to like, so I'm trying to think of what the last movie that I saw that I reviewed for the podcast that like actually I got a physical reaction to was the movie Fire in the Sky.
Which one was that?
Have you ever seen that? I did it with Charles. It's kind of recent. It's about an alien abduction, but it's...
Yes, I remember you talking about it.
It is like, it was the abduction scenes and like where they were. It was very uncomfortable. And I believe that it was like, yeah. And I believe that it was like, similar to the special effects that they used for The Matrix later on, because there were elements that looked very much like The Matrix. Like, there were bits of The Matrix I found kind of, like, weird. Like, I wasn't, like, put off like I was gonna vomit or anything, but, like, I just felt kind of, like, odd. Like, my body just felt, like, weird looking at it. But Fire in the Sky, I actually was, like, so freaked out and scared. Really? I kind of felt sick. It's a great film, though. I mean, the tension and everything that's building through it, and it's very like low budge too, like it's 93, but it's really intense. It's a very intense movie. I think I felt the same way during that part, so I can totally get it. I do like the quote that she goes, beauty is the end, Steve-O, the end.
Yeah.
Like, I like that was cool. I do like, we get like Steve-O's melancholy and he goes to Chris's house, and I like when you see Jen again and she's like off her medication. She's just like crazy. She's like, hey, Steve-O. Oh my God. He's like, hey, how are you doing, baby? What's going on? And she's like, I'm just like feeling really crazy right now. And I'm not on anything at all. I see things so clear right now. And then I love that he goes and talks to Chris, the brother. And that's one of my favorite conversations of all time is like when he talks about anarchy and chaos and like one believes in chaos and one believes in anarchy. And they talk about like how it's a cycle and how you can't really have one without the other. But they have this like just kind of weird stoner philosophical conversation. But I always found it really interesting. Like that part, and Chris is really crazy, and then you see the other girl there that's like really weird, and then he's like, "That's my sister," and he's like, "Your family's really weird, man."
That's insane. Yeah, I like that family.
Yeah, it's like so funny. I do, and then in that one you see like Sandy sleeping with this other guy, and he gets like super heartbroken, which I didn't really think about too much when I saw it before, but I was really looking for like different things to talk about. Bob is becoming in love with Trish, and kind of like Steve-O sees it and it's kind of separating from him a bit. I like how we find Mike eventually. Jason Segel is like gonna go save the rainforest.
Yeah,
he's like, someone's gonna fight for them. And he's like getting away, and that's kind of crazy. And then we find out like Steve-O's really heartbroken about Sandy, and then Trish is like, I want you to meet my friend Brandy. And he's like, okay, fine. I've
heard before, too.
Summer Phoenix?
Yeah. Oh, that is
Summer. Yeah, that's Summer Phoenix. Yeah. Brandy is, yeah. And of the Phoenixes, if anyone out there doesn't know, like Joaquin and River's sister. But along with the other, like, four that there are. There's Rain. It's another one that's famous, too. But anyway.
I just didn't like her eyebrows. Sorry.
Oh, but they're natural, I guess. I think they're just not plucked. Yeah, they're just natural. They're cool, though. At this party is when you get another really famous... One of my favorite scenes is where she's talking to Steve-O about, like, fashion. Mm-hmm. Like, whether or not, like, how he's dressing is not really rebellious. Like, you just look like everyone else trying to be punk. Like, why don't you just say it's fashion? But I like the way that she kind of challenges him. And she's, like, 19. She's, like, younger and everything. But I like that whole scene. I thought that was really cool. Mm-hmm. So he kind of, like, gives into her. Bob, at this point, is, like, he's just, like, at his wit's end. He's drunk and, like, freaking out in the bathroom. Somebody gives him a bunch of pills. And he's like, no, I don't take pills, man. And they're like, they're vitamins. Just take them. And then that's when we find out, like, this scene still haunts me, is when they go home.
I was bawling.
Right? Like, this is when I think a lot of people don't realize, like, Matthew Lillard's a really incredible actor. Like, he's not just this silly guy that, mm-hmm. for some reason, I didn't see him in that. Like, I saw Steve-O really crying when he tries to wake Bob up the next morning, and he's like, wake up, and he's like, only posers die. God, I was like, no. And he's like, don't leave me like this. And he's like, you're my only friend. Like, what am I going to do? I was like, oh my God, this is so awful. And then they flash back to when they're kids. And that's when you see him introducing like Generation X to him. And I love that scene and how it all kind of like comes full circle at the funeral.
That little kid who plays like the young Bob.
He's so good. He's so good. He's like, give me a chance. Like, yeah, he's so good.
He was like overacting, but not overacting.
He was good though. Yeah, I was like, go for it. Yeah, he was really good. I don't know who that kid is, but he seems like a good actor, like that
for
young.
Sure.
And then we just get like at the end, you know, he like becomes a lawyer after all, and kind of gives that whole like, well, fuck you for everyone who was thinking it. I guess I'm nothing more than a goddamn trendy ass poser. And so I like that it was like a kind of good representation of this subculture, you know, that he like really enjoyed and lived in. But he was kind of right at the end. He was like, you know, you can do more damage in the system than outside of it. So I was like, if you're smart, maybe you can help people get out of jail who are like wrongfully convicted. You know, there are other things you can do, which is like pretty punk, you know. So there are lots of things that you can do within the system, you know, not always, but you could try. So it's a good moral. But I fucking love this movie so much. Like, it's
It is a good movie. I did like it.
Yeah, I really like it. I thought it was really great. Let's see. I don't know what... Well, I've given you an assignment to start in on Buffy again. So we're going to release another one of those Buffy episode chunks in April. So this will come out a bit later than that, but they'll be out soon on Patreon. I think I'm doing some other 90s movies on here, maybe another remix, maybe an interview or two, who knows. But yeah, like, comment, subscribe, follow, blah, blah, sign up for the Patreon. And yeah, you have any final thoughts?
No, I give this a solid A.
Oh, nice, an A.
Yeah.
Shit. Okay, I give it like a definite A+. But it's like, yeah, it's up there.
It's a good, like I said before, it's a good intro to like punk.
It is, yeah. I mean, a lot of people may not, I didn't read any Letterboxd reviews, but a lot of people may not say that this is punk because it's like a commercialized kind of campy version. But I feel like we don't get this kind of representation of punk in like a kind of fun way. Yeah. And kind of like, it's just kind of the backbone of the story. But the story is like self-discovery. I mean, it doesn't really all have to do with punk. It's just, that's the backdrop that we're following. But it's all about like what this guy's life path is going to be. Like, how should he kind of, you know, approach that? And he's just so great. Like, Matthew Lillard carrying a film is just great. Like, just having, he's always a side character. So I like that he was like starring in this, and this was like his film, you know, to move around in. But yeah, it was super fun. And I guess we'll see you on the next one.
Yeah. See ya.
Bye.